Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We continue a study of Old Testament characters because the Bible teaches us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What a glorious thing it is to have the Bible compiled and to come to us as it has over time. It is an amazing book, the product of God Almighty, Deity Himself, who inspired holy men of God as they were moved, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we have prophets and prophetesses throughout the Bible. And we recognize that we have all truth today. It is a closed revelation, meaning there's no more revelation that's happening today. We have Matthew through Revelation as the New Testament. Acts 2 forward is the timeline at which the gospel began from Jerusalem to be preached after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus told his apostles to go into the city of Jerusalem in Acts 1 and to wait till they be endued from power on high, which was the Holy Spirit baptism, which gave them in part the ability to preach God's word, never having studied it before. The New Covenant, the Gospel, as they need it. Also, that they would be able to speak in dialects or languages of all types of tongues in order that people could hear and understand the preaching of the message in their own language. And the ability to perform miracles, signs, wonders through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. That they were endued with this power, not to be used to heal themselves or to be used in a human will sort of way, but rather, as Mark 16, 15 through 20 points out, it would be the case that they would go everywhere preaching the word, confirming the word with signs following. We now have the faith once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. We're to earnestly contend for the faith, and we want to be well-pleasing in the sight of God. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21, God says to us through the inspired writing of James, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equipped you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We would like to look at the Old Testament life of the character David. We're talking about King David, the second king of the children of Israel, after a period of judges and God ruling the children of Israel. The people clamored for a king because they wanted to be like other nations about them. Samuel and others may have warned them about this, but they continued and persisted, and so God said, "I'll give you your own king." And of course, there was trouble when God was not being looked at as the leader. And when God would be looked to as the leader, even when there was a king, there would be blessings. But there was a period of Saul and David and Solomon of a united children of Israel. And then there was a division with the kings, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, after Solomon's death. And there was a divided kingdom, as there often is division when things go wrong, whether it be spiritual matters today in local congregations, the splintering and the fracturing and the divisions that exist with all the various denominational dogma still being taught, quote, in the name of Christ, unquote. That is, the teachers say they're teaching the truth, but they teach contradictory doctrines, and truth is not contradictory. Error is. And the truth would be contradictory to error, and error would be contradictory to truth. So, we know that truth can cause division from our study in past times, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, that factions or divisions must come so that those that are approved may be made manifest. That's right. Sometimes when you teach the truth, it will cause division. But Jesus said he wanted his disciples to be united on the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. The word sanctify simply means set apart. We should be set apart as believers and conformers to the truth, the unadulterated gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, James 2:12, by which we will be judged in that final day. I would like to look at a significant event in the life of David, and I do not want to do him an injustice, so I will say this, that when Saul was king, if you remember the history in the Bible, that is not just Aesop fable, but rather the truth, that there was this Goliath of a man, a giant of a man named Goliath, of the Philistines. And Goliath was making sport in taunting verbally the children of Israel, asking that they would just send one representative out for a contest. Instead of having an all-out war, which would kill a lot of people on both sides, let's just give me your best man. And Goliath was sent forth as the best man to represent the Philistines. And the children of Israel, the children of God Almighty, were quivering in their boots. Saul was the king, and Saul was quite a man as far as his physical stature, as we're to find out later on when David finally gets before him and says, what's this business about this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm paraphrasing, taunting God's people? He said, I'll go. And Saul, the king, says, you're but a youth. You're just a shepherd boy. Well, David was righteous before God. And David put his trust in the Lord. And David was out protecting sheep as best he could. And David did not kill and deliver his sheep that were in danger from the bear and from the lion of his own accord. No, he wasn't just a sharp shooter that could sling a stone out of a slingshot, and that he was just lucky or that he was athletically gifted. No, David was on the side of God Almighty, and when he convinced Saul of his faith and his belief that he could go out there and take on Goliath, God was well pleased. The armor of Saul, he says, well, at least put my armor on. It won't even fit the little shepherd boy. David didn't need that. He had the armor of God Almighty, and he had God on his side. The Philistines were ungodly people, full of wickedness at that particular time. It need not be that the children of Israel be afraid, but they were weak in faith. They didn't have a leader that was leading them very well at that particular time. And so it was that the shepherd boy went out and, as we know the story, slew Goliath by the help of God Almighty, and later becomes king of Israel. And he has trouble in his own family. Absalom, it comes to mind. And that Absalom was not the only child. But the passage of Scripture that is one of the most famous concerning the life of David, a man after God's own heart, is the sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba, a very beautiful woman, and killing her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Now, most of the time, the kings would go out to war, to battle. But David at this time is staying home while his men are at war for the children of Israel. Joab is the captain, or the general, if you want to use a term like we might in America. That is, he's the captain of the host of the army. He reports back. And when the king has something to say, he sends a message to the top dog, if you will. So it is that David looks out of his palace window and he sees a beautiful woman bathing on a rooftop, and her name's Bathsheba. She's very beautiful to look upon, and instead of resisting and fleeing temptation, David sends some of his soldiers over that are back at the palace guard and says, "Bring her to me." They had intimate relations. She is found to be with child. And David says, "I've got a problem here, but I know how to solve it. I'm going to write and send a letter by messenger to Joab, and I'm going to let him send Uriah back home on leave from the war, and Uriah will be with his wife, and they'll have relations, and then it's problem solved." Well, Uriah comes back, but he won't leave the palace. He's waiting for the word to go back and fight. And he's going to get the word from the king, because it's the king that's brought him back on leave. And David says, "Go be with your wife. Enjoy. Take some rest from the war." He says, "I'm not going to do that, sir." Paraphrasing. "I'm not going to go home and enjoy the pleasures of home when my brethren are out there fighting in warfare for the benefit of all the children of Israel." David thinks about it a little bit, devises another plan. You know how scheming we can be as human beings. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. David says, "Okay," and he goes back in, he writes a letter, and he sends it to Joab. He seals it with the king's seal, so it's not going to be opened by someone as faithful to God and to the king as Uriah is. And he tells Joab in the letter, "When Uriah gets here and gives you this letter, put him in the forefront of the battle, so he'll be killed." That was the plan. And he did, and Uriah ends up dead, meaning he did. David did the letter, and he did. Joab did as was told in the letter, and they did. The enemy killed Uriah the Hittite. Well, Nathan, the Lord sent Nathan to David, 2 Samuel 12. We're running close on time, but we want to get this in. And Nathan is going to tell a story to David. I'm going to read it quickly. "There were two men in one city, one rich, one poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished it, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." And David's heart was right. He repented. He tried to make things right. But he couldn't take back the sin. He couldn't take back killing the man, Uriah. Let us be careful as we live that we don't fall into consequences that are always going to follow us for the rest of our life. Things that we can't undo, but we can be forgiven of. God bless you. Have a pleasant day.